And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, just looking over here at my computer today. A little bit trouble this thing over here warming up. You know, I noticed yesterday, it was one of those days where I replayed part of the show, some things that I'd said that I wanted to check on. I noticed that, at least on my end, we had some glitches, some cutouts. And I should have spoken to Jared about this before. Jared, is it on my end? Is there something going on with my internet that all of a sudden I freeze up and goes a few minutes without anything? Because I noticed that. And then here this morning, I'm having a slow time getting something to load. There it finally, okay, it loaded there. But it was an amazing day yesterday. Amazing. I'm going to get into some of that, but I'm going to try to behave here real quickly as we go down through it. I make notes when I come in here every day. I have notes of what I want to try to follow. So bear with me a sec, because I got to get this out of me today. I got to get it out of me. Hey, let me make a what do they call that? A shameless appeal. Hey, Connor, go to the product page. Hey, folks, listen. How about buying some of your Christmas presents here, right here? We are, if Connor can get that up there for us, I'm sorry. My wife's been banging on me. Others have been banging on me. Coach, come on, people want hats and they want shirts and blah, blah, blah. So is that where it is? Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, man. We got all kinds of stuff here in our shop. Those people in your lives that are Christians, you want them to become a little bit more bold. We got all kinds of great stuff. I don't even have the, I'm looking at, shame on me, the Equal Justice Tour shirts. We still got Equal Justice Tour shirts. We got hats. And so we're running a special. Any two products for $25. Any two. That'd be two hats or a Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt or a Hate, a Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt or the Hillary shirt, the Equal Justice Tour. See, if you help us out by putting some of your Christmas money in here, we both win, right? We both win. And so, remember us. It's all right there. Now, listen, I don't know why, shame on me, Equal Justice Tour shirts are not on this website. They're on the Equal Justice Tour website. So I don't know whether you have to go there and order those. But give them as joke prizes. Certainly you have some people who are closet conservatives. Give it to them as a joke. Say, hey, here you go. You hate Hillary. Here's the shirt. They may never wear it, but they might. You might embolden them. So any two for 25 bucks. Anything you see on that. So there you go. Said that. Help us out. Beat the holiday rush. Just a couple weeks away. There's an Equal Justice Tour up there. And there's our Equal Justice Tour shop shirts. Crooked Hillary, lock her up. And all the prices and everything are right there, right? All right. You buy one of those Crooked Hillary shirts, and I'll throw a hat in. How about that? Gotta remind me. Gotta remind me. Cool. All right. Great. I hate doing this. I hate doing this stuff. Mike and Paula, I was listening to Mike this morning, and according to the doctor, they need $3,500 up front. I'm not making an appeal for money for Mike, okay? This just is part of the same thing that just aggravates me. But the doctor needs $3,500 up front, according to what Mike said today, before they'll begin chemotherapy. Paula needs to get started on it. It's supposed to begin today. Samaritans already said that they'll support him up to $250,000, I think it was. Mike said that, but that money won't come for probably 3 months because there's a process that they go through. And evidently, the doctor at the hospital wants $3,500 up front. So that's a prayer target. Oh, I wanted to talk, Lord. my wife and I are having a great discussion before I came down here. I'm trying to be good before I get rolling here. Trying to be good. So just pray. Lord, I can't even know how to get through this. Pray for Mike and Paul. Michelle and I were okay. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Okay. We don't even understand prayer. Now, Larry, before you come in here and start telling us about the class that you taught, I'm not gone there. Give me a minute. Because people don't understand, I don't understand, and why don't people get healed? Scripture tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The purpose of prayer. And I think a lot of it has to do with our opinion of God and who God is and what he's all about. And let me use this. Let me try to make this as simple as I can. I love my grandbabies. I just love my little grandbabies. Actually, more than my own life, I do. And I'm here to do whatever I can to protect them and nurture them and train them and direct them as they live their lives. But if I don't teach my grandchildren to fear and love the Lord, everything else I'm going to teach them will be worthless. It will be worthless. And I think that too often, please don't anybody take this as offense because it's not meant that way. But I'm just going to tell you something I believe is true, okay? See, we appeal to God for miracles. That's what our prayer life really is, an appeal to God to do a miracle, whatever that would be. And as I was saying about how much I love my grandchildren, Michelle and I love our grandchildren, and no matter how much I train them, for instance, you put your grandson on a bicycle, you give him training wheels, right? You try to teach him how to ride the bike with the training wheels on. And then you take one of them off. And eventually you take both of them off. And as the grandfather who bought him the bike and loved him beyond what I can even explain to somebody, if he gets on that bike and he rides recklessly down the hill, riding recklessly down the hill, folks, no matter how much he's praying to me for protection, if he's riding recklessly, you're asking me to supernaturally intervene in a situation that he's created. David, don't ride like that, I would say to him. Don't ride like that. When you ride like that, you wreck. It's like being Evel Knievel. And Evel Knievel is getting ready to go jump over whatever it was he jumped over and be saying a prayer before you go jump over. Lord, protect me. Hey, dude, you're defying the laws of nature, basically. I mean, you're not. You're challenging the laws of nature. And when you challenge, when you ride on the edge like that and then ask God to protect you, look, my grandson, David, I'll use him as an example. If I catch him climbing up a 50-foot tree, I can pray that he doesn't fall. But if he falls, it isn't God's fault that he fell. He climbed a stinking tree. He shouldn't have done it. And so many things that we see going on in our own lives, dare I say it to you, folks, they are self-inflicted. They're self-inflicted. And we go to God and we ask for miracles. That's really what our prayer life is. We pray for miracles. Now think about Polly. What brought cancer upon Polly, Heath? What is it? Was it something generational? Was it something she ate? Is it the water that she's been drinking? Is it the 5G that's flying all around her? I don't know. But I believe in cause and effect. And I believe in the consequences of sin. I mean, let's stay with me. Let me pick a company. Watch that. My brain just kind of went dead. the big grain company. What's the name of that? Somebody help me out here. Somebody help me.
Monsanto?
Thank you, Larry. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
If somebody at Monsanto sins and puts into that food poison, there's consequences to their sin. And why putting additives into food would make Polly sick or Todd Barham sick or me. So why that would happen, I don't know. But I do know this. It's a consequence of somebody else violating the laws of nature. Okay? And certainly we all pray for Polly to be healed and Todd to be healed and all of our loved ones. But please understand that we are always going to God on the wrong end of the deal. We're asking God, this is going on all around us, folks. We're asking God to bless and rescue family members who are lost. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen, coach. I get it. We all have family members who are astray, and we're asking Lord, please protect them in their disobedience, Lord. Please, Lord, please, when they drink, Lord, please don't let them have a wreck and kill somebody. We're asking the Lord to protect them in their disobedience when, in fact, we dropped the ball because we didn't raise them to be obedient. And the consequences of what they do is impacting other people. And so I think about my relationship with my own grandchildren. I would do anything I could to protect my grandbabies, anything I could. However, there are certain things I don't have control of. I don't have control of what other people do. I don't have control of what people put in their food. I don't have any control. And to think that my grandson riding his bike down the hill, he would have to turn to me and beg me, please, Grampy, protect me. Please, that is ridiculous. My heart is to protect him. That is my heart. That's our Heavenly Father's heart. He wills that none would perish. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. His very nature is to love and protect and nurture us. He said healing is the children's bread. It just flows out of him. What man out there, when your child asks for bread, you give him a stone? He said, who would ever do that? You don't have to beg me. God doesn't. We don't have to beg God. My grandchildren don't have to beg me to love them and be nice to them. No, but there are consequences of sin that has entered this world that we're in. There's consequences to it. And I look at some of the issues I see going on around me and lives of people who are totally and completely out of control, where they're completely out of control because they're disobedient. They're disobedient to the Lord. And we watched them when they were 6 years old and 7 years old and 10 years old and 12 years old. We watched that disobedience. We didn't handle it the way we should have. When it was going on, we let it go on and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it's bigger. And now all of a sudden they're 30 years old and we want God to bless that disobedience that they've been in. You with me? And it has to do with I talked about it yesterday. We have no idea who we are in our relationship with God. Now, Jesus Christ, I believe this, could touch a person and cancer be gone like that. I believe that. Does he always? Doesn't seem to. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to beg him. He's your grandpa. He loves you as much. Polly, Jesus loves you more than you love those little grandbabies. And I know that your heart would be that you would do whatever you could do for your grandbabies. Anything you could do, the sky's the limit. You would do it. Well, Polly, that's your Heavenly Father's will for you as well. It is. And why this has come upon you, we don't know. Could he miraculously touch you and heal you? He could. Will he? See, we think it's like a It's like a trade with God. Lord, hey, I'll pray this, Lord, and I won't eat, and I'll fast, I'll do all that, and then maybe then, okay, then will we, Lord, will you do it then? You don't have to think.
No, Coach, it's the mercies of God. It's all the mercies of God, because we were all sinners yet, and we are justly due of death, period, amen, because of that. God intervenes, it's because of his mercy. But we cannot provoke God. We cannot tempt God. We cannot test God. And we cannot eat a bag of Doritos and pray, say, Lord, please bless this and nourish it to my body. Because God says in Ephesians chapter 6, God will not be mocked. What a man sows, so shall he also reap.
That's right. So we're asking for miraculous intervention. Miraculous. And maybe it's been somebody has poisoned the water. Somebody has poisoned the food. There's natural consequences to somebody else's sin. I'm not making light of prayer. I'm not making light of fasting. I'm not making light of any of that stuff. But I'm telling you this, the idea that you have to beg God, you got to beg him to heal you. He wants that more than anything. And we don't understand why it doesn't manifest. I don't understand. I hugged my wife last night. I hugged her last night. Said, man, I appreciate every day with you. I appreciate every day I have with you. What a blessing you are. And I don't deserve it. I don't deserve having you, and I love you so much. And if God were to take her tomorrow, I got no gripes. Gave me 40 years of that wonderful. Are you kidding me? How could I ever? Oh, I'd be heart sick, and I'd pray like everybody else and beg God to heal her. I would. But I know this. I don't have to beg God to do good. I don't have to.
Hey, Coach.
That's the attitude most of us have in regards to prayer, to be honest with you. We want God to supernaturally intervene in something that the result of sin brought into our lives. Am I making sense?
Yeah, Coach. I don't want to say any specifics about prayer or anything. I just want to say that I feel led that the things that you've talked about are covered from the scriptures in the sessions that we did on prayer. And if anyone wants to go through another session, it may be the same as the last. It may not be. It depends on how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. But put something in the chat. Get a hold of me. Everybody knows how to call, find my number or whatever. And we will schedule, and we'll get a few of us together, however many there are. And we'll go over the simplicity of what the word says about prayer.
Michelle said to me this morning, Larry, this is just the way our mind works, right? She said, well, what about Jeremiah Thomas? All the people praying for Jeremiah, but and what were we doing? We were begging God for a miracle, weren't we? We were begging God to intervene. And I can't explain it. But I know that my grandchildren don't have to beg me for good things. I know that.
Hey, Coach.
I don't have to beg God for good things. We don't have to beg God for good things. You don't get healed through your personal sacrifice.
Amen.
Without faith, it's possible. I can't listen, folks. I can't. I don't have an answer for it. I don't have an answer for it. But I know the heart of God. And the heart of God is to heal. As I heard somebody said, if God gave you cancer, he had to steal it from the devil, because he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that.
There's consequences, Coach. There's consequences.
It's consequences. Mike, hey, Mark, also sometimes innocent consequences. Didn't do anything other than eat or drink or sit
in your children. Your children didn't do anything for your generational curse that you got from your ancestry. They didn't do anything, but they're dealing with it.
Right.
And that's one of the secrets. If we knew, we would stop. But this is good, Coach. I mean, this is exactly what we need to be fed. And
I don't have the answer, Mark. I see the dilemma, but I don't have the answer. But I'm going to tell you this: the answer, the problem isn't God. It isn't God, and you don't have to beg.
No.
We don't have to beg God, folks. If you got that in your mindset, you got to beg God and get in a sackcloth and ashes. And I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Now, are there certain situations that would see? Really, what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to turn the will of God. That's what you're trying to do. It's really the way we've been taught to pray, to come out and ask, God, supernaturally intervene in here. So would you do this, Lord? And
hey, Coach, I think it's 2 days ago in Robert Klaus's daily devotional, those little inserts he has prior to, he says, is prayer your steering wheel? Is it your spare tire? Think about it, right? That's exactly what you're saying, because that's truly when we really press in prayer is when there's a crisis.
That's right.
Hey, look at it this way, Coach, and you're exactly right. If I'm talking to you about something I need to do in my job, and I'm telling you I really wish this would happen, that's the relationship of prayer. We should talk to God like a friend. Amen. Talk to him like he's right there. I don't ask you to go fix all the stuff with my job. No, you're my friend. I want to fellowship with you. Amen. I want to serve you and help you. You see, and that's the relationship with God that we miss. We think he's going to do all these things. He's our Father. You know, he stood back and let us do a lot of things through the whole Old Testament.
Man.
Now, how many, look at all the prayer. He didn't jump in and do anything until judgment. There were some miracles along the way, like you say, but you're exactly right. Who is God, right?
I can't tell you. In my wild years from 18 to whatever, I can't imagine how many prayers my mom was praying to intervene on the crazy stuff that I was doing. She didn't know what I was doing, but she was she was intervening, right? She was intervening, and she was praying, Lord, protect him. Lord, protect him. Wow, protect him, Lord. And I was out there tempting the Lord, doing all those crazy things. And do you think, what is the Lord up there like juggling balls, trying to figure out, well, gee, Pearl's praying for day. But he's doing, see, there's consequences to sin. And you know what's just, you know what's sad? I just saw this the other day. Some guy was texting and driving. We know what happened, right? He went left to center. Boom, hit a car. Did it hurt him? No, it didn't hurt him. Killed some 17-year-old girl driving in the car on the other side. Now, her mom's probably praying for her safety. Everybody's going on. What happens? This guy violates the laws of nature and goes across the. Did he know better? Certainly he knew better. Certainly. Did he do it? And now we look at him like, oh, what a criminal he is. See, you shouldn't text and drive as we text and drive, right? And so the natural consequence of life always catches up to us. It always does, folks. And the supernatural intervention of God is that you would pray that no matter what happens, God, my trust and my faith is in you. Lord, you know what I want. You know, Lord, I want to live to be 70 with a bunch of happy grandchildren around me. You know I want to do that. But Lord, if you got something else, that Lord, I'm okay with it. But God didn't answer that prayer. Well, maybe. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. It's a good song, not necessarily biblically accurate. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we're being bombarded from so many different directions from the evil, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the 5G, Mark Trump. Hey, Michelle, get that big thing up on my dresser and bring that down, that 5G thing, if you can. Mark, I'm supposed to ship this to you anyway. If we had any idea the consequences of 5G coming through us, you ever had any idea the consequences of all type of radiation, stuff they're spraying on us, and all this stuff? If we really could go back to the root of what caused all this, we could go back there and we could understand that Polly or Todd Barm or whoever, just a victim of somebody's sinful behavior. Just a victim. Is that making sense?
I think God does answer a prayer. I think he says, just like he told Paul, three times he prayed to God, Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. You know what God answered him every time?
My grace is sufficient, brother.
What he says, my grace is sufficient for you. She can handle whatever comes because God's grace is sufficient for her.
Amen. Amen.
It's always sufficient.
Amen. Amen.
That's my prayer. Of course I want Polly healed. Of course I do. Of course I want Mike to have his wife. Of course I do. Come on, right? Of course. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Jesus wanted to live. Jesus didn't want to die. But his dad said, "Well, I'm sorry, man, but you're going to have to because it's bigger than you. This is bigger than you. And I know maybe it doesn't make sense to you right now, but you just got to trust me that there's something bigger going on. Something bigger going on here. And just trust me. Just trust me. My grace is sufficient for you." And just like everybody else, I pray and I believe for Paulie's healing. I believe it. But there's God's will is at work here, man. God's will is at work. And I don't want to go on much beyond that. You guys with me, right? You understand what I'm saying? It's everywhere, folks. Death is all around us. And the causation of death is all around us. And Dave, I get up every day. I thank God. But it didn't get me yet, Lord. It didn't get me yet. And it's not because I'm much more holy or righteous or whatever. It didn't get me yet. That 5G didn't get me yet. Those GMOs, they didn't get me yet, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I don't know why. I don't know why. Why some people get it and some people don't. I don't know. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. It says.
Dave.
Yep.
Hey, I wanted to say this the other day when we were talking about this, and I didn't. So now I feel like I need. I came down with testicular cancer, mm-hmm. and the IU Med Center in Indianapolis said that they actually came up with a cure in 64 for this cancer. But they said it's the most deadliest, most aggressive cancer we have, and that I had to follow them to the letter, what their protocol. So I did, and 8 months later, the cancer came back. And it's like, holy crud, you know, what the heck's going on? Well, long story short, that was in 05. I'm still here. We got through it. But in that process, I learned through my pastor at the time, he said, God will always answer your prayer. And he said, sometimes it's through the miracle of prayer. Sometimes it's through your body, just to hit God the way God makes our body to naturally heal our wounds. We heal that away. Sometimes it's through the aid of a doctor. We get healed that way. Or else it's the ultimate healing when we go to heaven to be with him. And long story short, we have to have peace and trust in how he decides to answer that healing. Which mm-hmm. healing is he choosing for us? And I had to come to grips with that. And
nevertheless, thy will be done, right?
That's right.
Nevertheless. And yeah, listen, folks, I just want to end it with this thought. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to beg him. You got to trust him. That's it. You got to trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to believe him. Right? Without faith, it's impossible. So you got to trust him. You got to trust him. And whatever happens, happens. Trust that he's good. He's your grandpa. He would never want anything bad to happen to you, ever. He would do whatever he could, but he will not supernaturally intervene into every situation that man has screwed up. If they're putting poison in the GMO, if they're putting it in Monsanto's, putting poison into our food, he can't supernaturally intervene. It's a consequence of sin. He could supernaturally intervene, but God's in control of everything, but he doesn't control everything. You with me? Poison in the water, there's consequences to it. Why? Generational things Mark talked about, there are consequences to it. The nature of God doesn't change, friends. It doesn't change.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What makes us unique is our decision making. He allows us to write a story.
Mm.
And guess what? It's scriptural, because guess what happens in the end? The books are open. Whose story is read? He allows us to do that. So I'm telling you, it's the nature of God. You're dead on. Who is God? Who do we think he is?
So don't ever forget this, man. The purpose of prayer is to change your heart, not God's. And you ain't changing God. Purpose of prayer, you don't have to beg God. He's totally 100% always good.
Amen, Coach.
And you don't have to beg him. Goodness is his nature. But the purpose of prayer is to change your heart and your approach. Yes. I brought this down, Mark. I'm supposed to send this to you, folks. I want you to see this. This is given to me. Stephanie's boyfriend gave this to me. That's 5G cable.
That's only one. So you know how your connectors go into your wall? This is just one of the three-phase power cables going to one tower.
Folks, and that's going through the air.
Now, each antenna segment is powered. Each antenna segment. So if the tower has multiple antenna segments, it's got multiple power cables. So that energy, those electrons, is being dumped into the atmosphere, and guess who absorbs it?
Mm-hmm.
We do.
And guess what?
Any soft tissue,
right?
The organics, and now they're proving smart meters in the U.S. are killing organic materials. They're proving it. And now there's an outcry. So the companies that make the smart meters are having to figure that out.
And so there's consequences to sin, isn't there, Mark? There's consequences to sin.
Consequences. Yep. That's right. Now, and you're living out your prior consequences. The reality is, how soon can you wake up? How many people would want to know what you know now when you were a teenager so you wouldn't have lived this way? Mm. That's the secret, is to help people at a younger age learn what Randy knows. My goodness. Can you imagine the warriors we'd have?
Yep. Amen.
Learn what coach – learn. When did you learn what you learned, coach? Is after your football career.
Every day, brother. I just learn it every day.
Yeah. So, man.
So Keith and Ray Newman in Helena, Montana, see, they're fighting the consequences of sin, consequences of somebody else's sin, right? And so we pray and we ask God to intervene and make this thing right. But I got a million things that I want to talk about. I'm going to Montana. Flying out on Sunday. Going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, back on Wednesday. And if anybody's out there can come, anybody close, we'd love to hear from you. We're just going to try to do what Gideon did. We're going to shine light and make noise. That's all we can do. It's another event with our Equal Justice Tour. And we're going to go up. I'm going to try segue here. If you want to see what's wrong in America, you need to do nothing else other than watch about a 5-minute clip yesterday from those law professors in the trial in Washington, D.C. You understand the mentality, the demonic mindset mentality that we are dealing with. These were law professors. These are lawyers who teach lawyers. Right? One was from Stanford. One was from, who knows, one of those stuffy schools. And they are absolutely mindless. They are mindless. But it is the law profession, my friends, that is controlling America. The lawyers, tip my hat to Roger, the law system, the lawyers, are the ones who've done all of this to us, folks. They've done all of us. And I sat in there yesterday. I sat and watched some replays yesterday of, do you realize, you want to know how merciful God is? You guys really want to know how merciful she is? He is? She is. Sorry about that one. Hey, Jared, play that clip. It says, which one is it? Where the heck did I put it? Saved by Trump. Play that one, Jared. Save that one. Because I'm going to show you, whether you realize it or not, the supernatural, in my opinion, intervention of God in the last election. Because this one lady, who we're going to have on our screen here in a second, Connor, Saved by Trump, it's judges, Pamela, whatever her name is, was on Hillary Clinton's short list for a Supreme Court justice. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was She was on the short list to be a Supreme Court justice. And she is the epitome. She, in some of her right, I got some other stuff here. She identifies as a bisexual, a radical bisexual Jew. Well, see, there's an element of America that wants to put, can you imagine her and Kagan and Sotomayor, these atheistic Jews on the Supreme Court of the United States? And I'm wondering how many of us out there, when we were praying for the last election, have any idea how God in his mercy, what he rescued us from that we didn't even know. This is about 5 minutes. Put it a minute and a half, and I just want you to watch this clip. Because, folks, this is, you better hear me, this is the legal system. This girl here, 60-year-old with a domestic partner, was one election away from sitting on the Supreme Court and determining legal policy for all of Americans. And you think it wouldn't be consequences in your life from the decisions she made? See, put her on the Supreme Court and then pray, try to pray that off of us, try to get God to pray that consequence off of us. Go ahead, Connor, just play a couple real quick minutes of this.
Our system has deemed capable of making judgment.
Go back to the beginning.
Real. Well, consider today's star witness, Pam Carlin. Look up her biography online and you'll see that she's the, quote, Kenneth and Harley Montgomery Professor of Public Interest Law at Stanford. Whoa, stand back, ladies and gentlemen. And before that, she clerked for a Supreme Court justice and earned not one, not two. Ladies and gentlemen, she earned three separate degrees at Yale. She's written several textbooks on constitutional law. If there's one person in this country who is impressive, who our system has deemed capable of making judgments that you don't even understand, it's this lady, this professor, Pamela Carlin. But think again. And this is a sub-theme of the impeachment drama that we'd like to highlight, because really it's a thing that will endure and change the country long after Trump is gone. It turns out the more you know about the people you're supposed to consider impressive, the more you find out they're not impressive at all. Actually, they're not very smart. They have no wisdom. Their personal lives are a disaster. By the way, if they're so wise, why are they so unhappy? Every one of them is. And in this specific case, they're not even unbiased arbiters. Carlin, for example, she's not some apolitical academic pulled out of cold storage to testify about what we ought to do. She's an activist. She's literally a political activist who donates thousands of dollars to the Democratic Party. Watch this.
Professor Carlin, you gave $2,000, or you gave $1,000 to Elizabeth Warren, right?
I believe so.
You gave $1,200 to Barack Obama?
I have no reason to question that.
And you gave $2,000 to Hillary Clinton?
That's correct.
So does donating to Democrats prove that Carlin is wrong? No, it doesn't, actually. She proved that herself. She made it very clear that she was incapable of clear thinking or wise judgments. Instead, she made bizarre claims. She claimed that delaying military aid to Ukraine was just like cutting off rescue services to Americans after a hurricane. What? It's like insane and dumb, by the way. She also engaged in embarrassing political stunts like ridiculing the president's teenage son. What?
What comparisons, Professor Carlin, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
The Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
Thank you. The founding...
You can cut that off.
I wonder how long they practiced that one.
You can. Coach, what are you saying today, Coach? I'm saying that we don't understand. We still don't understand the spiritual war that's raging around us. We don't understand that one side of this coin hates Christ and Christianity and loves death. We don't get it. And we don't understand that those people who are sitting, those nine justices sitting on the Supreme Court, whether we want to agree with them or not, they are the ones that are dictating policy for 320 million Americans. They are the ones doing it, not the church, not the voice of the church and the voice of the people. No, 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 no. It's law professors like this Pamela Carlin. That is the spiritual war that is breaking out in front of us, church. And the church can't wait to follow these ridiculous decisions that these meatheads hand down, these academicians hand down. Where did they get that power? Why do we follow them? Why is there not an uprising against that? So yesterday, the video I played where that dude was making fun of me. I'm sorry. Hey, folks, I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you something. I'll say it again. If a man cannot figure out what to do with his sexual organs, he has no business being in the White House. And people try to, when I talked about Mayor Butt Plug the other day, they cannot get it. They just cannot get it. That a man, listen to me, a man having sex with a lot of women is perfectly normal, but immoral. Donald Trump sleeping with 1,000 women, I don't know, is perfectly normal human response, but immoral. We used to be able to call it immoral. We're not allowed to call that that anymore, right? But Mayor Pete Buttplug, I said that again on purpose. What he is doing is not only immoral, it's unnatural. It's a crime against nature. It doesn't even make sense. Yet, people are actively considering allowing that man to be president of the United States. It's beyond wicked. It's beyond wicked. We have lost our ability to reason, folks. You do understand, don't you? You do understand that a man without Jesus Christ will try to lay any woman he could ever find. You understand that, don't you? You do understand that's a normal human reaction apart from Christ. You do understand that, right? You do understand that the only thing that keeps moral men moral is a set of principles of right and wrong. And for 2,200 in America, it has been the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Bible. That has been the restrainer. And that's what we're against. Saul, who hate God. They hate God. They hate Christ. They hate his rules. And they want to impose their lawlessness on the rest of us. That's what they want to be able to do. They want to be able to. This Pam, what was her name? Pam, whatever. She has a domestic partner. Hillary Clinton wanted to put her on the highest court in the land when she's living an abnormal immoral lifestyle. Abnormal. Deviant. And we want to elevate those people. Now, how do they get there? Well, they get there because they infiltrated the churches and told you and I that we're not supposed to judge. I'm all over the place here. Somebody come on in and rescue me.
And our founding fathers and our constitution and our law would have hung her from the highest gallows because those against God and the nature of God would cause for her to have her life, not a bench seat.
Dale, do you have any idea how many pastors and Christians I hear from because I speak straight language like this and they say, I'm not really saved. You're not really a Christian. You're not showing the love of Jesus. Do you have any idea how much this has permeated Christendom? Any idea how the acceptance of what God calls an abomination is welcomed into normal society? Do you have any idea how many? I don't care about the God haters. They're not a fly on my butt. But the Christian people who email me because of something I said about somebody else's behavior is astounding. So the moral line has been lost first and foremost in the church. We erased the line in the church. And now what do we see? The world's going to hell in a handbasket, see?
Well, it's animal instinct, Coach. When a man is void of the Spirit of God, and that when I go out hunting, man, and it's during the rut, that's when the bucks are chasing the doe. Let me tell you what, those bucks line up on that doe. That's what happens in the natural kingdom of animals, and that's what they want. That's what they're calling for. Where you can just line up. There's no restraint. There's no courting. You just go in there and get what you want to get and get out of there.
That's right. And we're trying to put those people in the highest office on the land, and it is anti. It is. I don't even know what word to use. I don't even know what word I would use to explain what they're trying to do to us and what we're allowing them to do to us. Seven justices, right? Now that you got Connor. It's in my stuff I sent you today. It says news with views. Next to the last thing, news with views. Next to the last idol, what I wrote today. There you go. How seven blacks, bear with me. How seven black robe justices changed America. Truth has fallen in the street. I'm going to read this quickly, and then Robert, I'm going to let you piggyback up against me. Isaiah 59, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. The most destructive Supreme Court in the history of America was handed down February 10th, 1947. Everson versus the Board of Education forever changed the landscape of America as seven terrorists in black robes declared that there was a separation between the church and state and removed the Bible as the foundation upon which all American morality would be built. It was a lie then, it's a lie today. The idea that the created being could declare to the creator they had no authority over the moral code of the nation is absurd. Perhaps that is why Psalm 2 tells us that the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at the foolish arrogance with which his creation would rebel. That would be that Pamela girl, that girl we saw yesterday. You ain't telling us what we can do. The creation rivals their puny fist at Almighty God. And America's been on a sprint into the depths of moral cesspool ever since. I'm sorry, but it's not the dreaded atheist that we can hang the cowbell on regarding this one. No, my friends, all seven justices who voted to kick God out of public life were members in good standing of a Christian denomination. This was long before the God-hating humanists had seized control of all of American institutions. Humanism, by the way, is a religion, as determined by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1961, Torcaso versus Watkins, and it's replaced Christianity as our nation's religion and is now openly funded and taught in every public school in America. Don't ever let anyone tell you that our public schools are religion-free zones. Christianity has given way to the religion of man as God. But for whatever reason, the average Christian in America believes in the lie of the separation of church and state. And lawyers and school boards all across the fruited plain bow to the humanists as they ramrod their Christless morality down the throats of American Christian school children. They're even kind enough to send the Christians the bill for the cost of educating their children in the religion of humanism. But this legal sleight of hand was full of deception from the start. See, the job of education was originally under the purview of the state, not the feds. Hence the separation of church from state. The feds had no business ruling on states' rights issue. But I assume that was just a small, minor legal point as the feds began to teach our children that government was God. The church and all of its crazy moral quirks served at the pleasure and the approval of the courts. Separation of morality in the government was now in place. Don't you find it a bit revealing when Isaiah, in the verse referenced above, wrote of the truth falling in the streets? Why the streets? Is it because the streets represent society and the part of the city where citizens interact? If there's no common agreement on right and wrong, can two walk together lest they agree? Can a nation survive when everyone does what's right in his own eyes? Wouldn't that be a great description of multiculturalism? So what in the world can we do? Christless education has destroyed America. George Washington warned us it's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God in the Bible. And his buddy John Adams declared our Constitution was made for moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. I wonder what they thought about the separation between the church and state. Have you been paying attention to the shenanigans going on in Washington, D.C.? If you have, then you're actually aware of the meaninglessness and irrelevance of truth. Do you think that any of this confusion has happened by accident? Nefarious forces have been tirelessly at work in this nation, hell-bent on destroying any vestiges of truth. Even if we somehow make it peaceably to 2021, do you actually believe that Americans can continue to survive in a nation where lies are the concrete upon which our citizens walk. By the way, can someone please point out to me where the LGBTQ community is located? Is it located anywhere near the Christian community or the academic community? Get your kids out of government schools now. Grandparents, spend some of your inheritance on Christian education, or better yet, allow mom to stay home and homeschool. Start a homeschool co-op at your church. Rescue them. Your Christian children have no business in the humanistic government schools. For evidence, look no further than the three law professors who testified in Congress on Wednesday. They are the government schools. They are the government schools. I wonder if any of them claim Christ. I wonder if the university where they work claims Christ. If the U.S. government fell apart tomorrow and we all had to work to rebuild this nation, do we have any idea where we would begin? Can a nation be built upon the idea that truth is an individually determined point of view? Our children are our nature's future. The humanists are after our children. What do they know that we don't? Wake up! This I do know. If America is ever to regain her greatness, it will be the responsibility of our children to repave the streets with truth. We must prepare them now if they are to be effective in the future. There's a battle raging for the mind. How will they operate with the mind of Christ if they are indoctrinated in humanism? It's time to take our children back. Truth has fallen in the streets, and not only the church, and only the church can get her back on the feet. Government's not God. Why don't we act like it? I saw that yesterday. I saw those law professors, and now I understand how they poisoned the mind of my son in law school. Now I get it now. I get it.
Coach.
Yeah.
They finally put the article in the front page of the Mount Vernon News that all them hundreds of people out on that football field praying that was against the law, and the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. And the superintendent said, we want to try and follow the law the best we can.
There we go. It's not the law, see? It's not the law. It's not the law! It's not the freaking law!
Hey, Coach, I guarantee you, Dale Sosha's kids today, they will be people of God. My kids will stand up in the day because they were taught in a different system. The homeschool system, I'm not saying it's exclusive, but that most of these parents that saw this, they got their kids out, they trained them up, and they indoctrinate them with the things of God. They are going to stand up when the day comes, Coach. When we're not here, they're going to do what we did and even more.
But Randy, we need to begin to do it now. We need to begin train them now, right now. 10 years will pass so quickly. A 15-year-old will be a 25-year-old. In 20 years, they'll be 35 years old. We're talking about mayors we're talking about training them right now, and you cannot do it in those government schools. I'm sorry. Robert, December 5th.
Just going to tell you, you need to let him read just the opening word, brother, of that is you, that. Coach, today. The Lord. It's you.
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, December 5th. You know, what we need today is prophets like Isaiah. We need a prophet. We don't need preachers. We don't need teachers. We don't need pastors. We need prophets. Okay, it says here, when a prophet, let's go December 5th.
Read it off yours, Robert. He's having trouble finding it today.
When a prophet is accepted and deified, his message is lost. The prophet is only useful as long as he is stoned as a public nuisance.
Amen.
Calling us to repentance, disturbing our comfortable routines, breaking our respectable idols, and shattering our sacred conventions. That's what we need today is a prophet who will tell it like it is, and the church will repent and rise up.
They won't let you in the church, though. They won't let you in the church. Go ahead.
When we break God's promises, we often stoop down to pick up the pieces. And we're seeing it today in the culture. These may be his partial blessings because of his mercy and grace, even though we did not fulfill the conditions to his promises to be fully blessed. At other times, the pieces may be his blessing of fatherly discipline, so we won't be swept away by his judging floods or blown about by his judging winds and stumble and fall about under his mighty earthquakes. And yet often, how often do we still fail to stop and listen to his still small voice, which says, why do you keep ignoring the conditions? Yeah, we want the blessings. We want this and that. There's no conditions, no repentance, no holiness. We need a prophet in the land. They'll speak it like it is.
That's the word right there, Robert. I was like, with this show, when I read that, I'm like, man, that's Coach. You better watch out. There's somebody's got a bucket of stones outside of your house.
Oh, my goodness. How many? So you know, I got a million things. I've been conflicted this morning. I'm sure you guys can pick up on that. I asked myself this. This is why we better understand. How else can somebody explain to me how a woman like, what was her name? Pamela Callan. How could that woman ever get to a position of authority anywhere in America? And yet, we were one election away from her replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg, probably, right? Having these kind of people rule over us. How's it happen? I'll tell you why. Because they lied to us and told us that there was a separation between the church and the state. So as a result, the church pulled back and the atheists came in. They grabbed academia. They grabbed every area of government that they could. They got in control and they began to indoctrinate and shove down our throats lies that are not true. Because see, if there is no God, there is no truth. That's why they love multiculturalism and diversity and tolerance. Who are you to judge? What? I'm okay, you're okay. Don't you understand? Don't you see that that's been the devil's dogma for at least the last 70, 80 years in America? As the church sits silently and plays patty cakes and act like we have no responsibility at all. None of this happened. I didn't do it. What did we do? That's right. That's right. It's where we are.
Coach, she's not bisexual. She's bisexual because she will die in her sin.
I can't use the right word. She would be, if she hadn't become a college professor. You ready, right wing watch? She'd be in the gay pride parade being a bike on a dyke, a dyke on a bike. That's what I think. She's as radical, hateful, homosexual, lesbian woman as there is in America, hiding behind academia. See, we don't get it, folks. We don't get it. We don't understand the fight. I know of people right now who would just fall all over themselves if they could get their children into Stanford Law School to be taught by that witch.
Professing to be wise, she becomes a fool.
She's a fool, Coach.
We let her get away with it. The LGBT community, what the hell is a LGBT community? Is there a place in town where you drive where they are? Where are they? Is there an LGBT community somewhere over here I'm not aware of? Words, man. The power of words. The power of words. The magnetism. The hypnosis, the hypnotic use of words. At what point in your life did you begin to call a homosexual gay? And now you call them gay so much that if you call them what the Bible calls them, a sodomite, the church comes rushing at you. Not loving, caring, hateful, bigoted, cruel. I'm troubled this morning. That's okay.
Coach. Before we close out, I'd like to make myself available for those who would like to participate in some sessions, and let's just see what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will give us on the simplicity of prayer. And
Amen.
Just let me know, and I'll get in contact with you individually, and we'll find a time when a group of us can get together.
Two things. Thank you, Larry. I watched, I don't know if you guys have seen this. I can't remember who sent it to me. Doesn't matter. Rick Wiles, November 22nd, True News. Go there. November 22nd, the day Kennedy was killed. November 22nd, True News. Go watch it. Piggybacks on what we were talking about yesterday. All right. And then issue number two. check out Hagman and the Hagman report from last night. Pastor David Lankford. Two things, must listen, both of those things. David Lankford, last night on Hagman, and True News, November 22nd. What a time to be alive, man. We are in the midst of it, baby. We are right in the midst of the devil's cauldron, the witch's brew, right where we are. What a time to be alive. Now is not the time to cower, baby. Now's the time for our voice to be heard. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.